Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognized sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Tora Radio Show for the first show of 2020. This is Series 6, Episode 1. I am, of course, Ben Williams. With me in the booth is, of course, our paranormal expert, Mr. Matt Hunter.
I've got a new tag. Excellent. Hello.
Also joining us this evening is Jordan. I am one pun away from getting kicked off this show. Gross.
Yes, hello everyone. I'm on my best behavior this evening.
No, he's not.
As you can tell, listeners, lots of things happen off air.
Yes,
this might be the last time you hear from me.
There are many discussions that occur off air that does not make it to the show. Anyway, because
we should release a bloopers reel.
No, we shouldn't.
No, we shouldn't.
We like our time here on the Radio Le Mans network of shows. If you were confused and wondering, wait a minute, it's not the end of the month. Well, it's not. We have transitioned into a new time at the beginning of the month so that we can better, we feel, cover sim racing news. Because mainly when we're getting towards the end of the month, we are covering news that are 3 to 4 weeks old, or in some cases, we set up the show, get it ready to go, and then someone like Codemasters or Gran Turismo decides to drop a piece of news on the day that we're recording.
So unfair.
Around us.
Yes, yes. All video game developers should schedule around the release dates around our show times.
Oh, we're going to announce Half-Life 3. Oh, we can't do it that day because the Tora Radio show's filming.
Welcome to the Tora Radio Show, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
Our first one of the decade.
Yes.
The first one new.
And then anyone who had
been operating through 3 decades.
Yes, that's a scary thought, isn't it? This is coming up on our 13th year.
That's mad.
And of course, if
I like number 13 is good.
If representatives from developers and stuff would like to be part of the Tora Radio show so that we don't miss their marvelous shiny announcements, then please do get in touch at @TheReal_Tora.
Yes. On tonight's program, we of course have sim racing news because we do occasionally talk about it. We have, of course, Tora news. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Daytona 24 that's coming up in a couple of weeks. And we have a looking forward into the future discussion about the state of sim racing in 2020. But we'll get to that stuff later. Let's start with the news.
You said it, Jordan.
Yes.
I'm going to get angry letters from BBC now.
Is it about the Dacia Sandero?
Great news!
No!
It's now available in a colour that's not beige.
Yes.
Anyway.
Let's be honest. This format of the show does take a lot of inspiration from Doc Gear. Just stating the obvious.
You mean three slight... Well, three... I'm not going to do the weight thing because... That's unfair.
No, that's not.
Three blokes talking about for most part of an hour. Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Yeah, that's about right.
And occasionally it's on topic.
Yes, and it is a winning format. Anyway, so we are a bit light on racing news this month just because we did this show 2 weeks ago. So if you feel
like we missed anything, just go to your podcast service of choice and catch up. There you go.
Yes.
There's a plug.
Yes. Yes. It wasn't until last year that I noticed, oh, wait a minute, we're on Spotify. Shows you how much I pay attention to stuff like that. Anyway, It's because I'm always doing something behind the scenes and making sure that stuff gets done on time. Anyway, so there we are. Getting back to my original topic, we are a bit light on sim racing news this month. We actually don't have any Forza news, as far as I know, because it is literally the beginning of the year. The year started yesterday.
Pretty much all Forza put out was their year review a few days ago. And
yes,
yeah.
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. The amount that's in that video where it shows them going to SEMA, it shows the partnership with Lego, it shows one of their new shows where they bring in celebrities to talk about their cars. Forza did a lot in 2019, let's kind of be honest here. They really expanded their content output.
Which it needed to do.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah.
If they could have spent their year without a game doing anything, that was probably one of the most important things they could have done. So,
yeah. The same kind of sort of goes for Gran Turismo Sport. We did talk about we speculated before they released the information. I believe it was the day of that we went on air. Annoyingly, after we went on air. But they released all of their new updates. So we did get the cards right. And despite the fact that I said last month that we probably wouldn't see Laguna, we have Laguna now. And there was much rejoicing. I believe Laguna has been missing from Gran Turismo since, I want to say, Gran Turismo 2 or 3, something like that.
Could be. All yeah. I know is the one that Jeremy Clarkson played it on,
two,
on Top
then,
Gear.
That was 2.
Oh, was it?
That was 2? Yeah.
It was very early on.
I'm old.
Shut up.
Excuse us.
Says the youngest person in the booth.
Yes. Yes, the youngest person by a significant margin. Anyway.
I'm of an age that is described as decrepit. Not past. But decrepit.
I am of an age where people describe me as, really, you're that old? You're older. Anyway, getting back on topic.
Sorry.
Already.
So, we got the Ford GT, we got the Volkswagen Golf, we got the 911 GT2. I'm probably incorrect. Let me make sure I get that correctly. We got the various We got the various new safety cars, which, of course, the first thing I did was get up the mileage points that I needed to be able to purchase the Charger Hellcat safety car, because, let's be honest, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know I love the car. Anyway, it was quite a sizable update, 2.4 gigabytes, for those who are playing along at home. Let's see. I just want to verify that I had the correct Porsche. Let me find it here. Please talk amongst yourselves.
Welcome to the Toro Radio Show, where we're really prepared in advance.
Oh, yes. Doing a live.
Well, just while he's quickly looking at that, there is actually a piece of sim racing news from the PC side of the world, which has just come out. The GTR 24 Hours, which has been taking place on R-Factor for a good little while, many years by all accounts, is switching to iRacing for 2020. The organisers are citing a number of things, but one of the things does seem to be, and I quote, 2019 gave us a race in which the podium was decided by software issues on the platform.
Ooh. Ouch.
Yeah. You hate
don't mince your words, eh?
No.
Yeah.
Basically, they don't feel like they're getting the developer support, it seems, from Studio 397. And as such, they are moving to iRacing. They also believe, or it said that viewer numbers, partners and practitioners are very different. iRacing platform has many times the participants, sponsors and viewers when it comes to live streaming in comparison to our Factor 2. That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So they feel that the benefits of moving across to that far outweigh the negatives. So their first 24-hour race of the season will change from Dubai to Suzuka. The classes are the same, except hypercar falls away and is replaced by LMP1H. I'm guessing they'll be using the Audi then. So henceforth, GT Rookie, GT3, GTE, LMP2 and LMP1H will be the four classes that they are operating for their endurance race season over there. All sounds very interesting.
Mm-hmm. And
I have actually heard of that. The only reason I mention it is because I've genuinely heard of that. So
yeah, and I think we can sympathize with their let's call them exasperations with a developer that you don't feel like supports you. There's been some of that in the past. Whenever we host our series and things like that. It has gotten significantly better over the last 2 or 3 years. But the software thing that I think we've had that issue before where, I think I want to say it was 2017, 2016. We had to red flag, like, completely stop a race because Xbox Live went down completely.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Was it TASCAR last year that had to be postponed as well?
Yes, it was TASCAR last year because there was an update to Forza that caused cars to collide in the pits. That's where they normally where they normally just phase in and out of each other so that there wasn't any collisions. But for whatever reason, there was a possibility that you could be spun into the pit wall and then you were stuck there.
Not what you want.
No. Whenever you're doing a series like TASCAR and NASCAR in general, where a win can be determined by how fast and when your pit stop is, having that type of... having that being a possibility is not ideal. Not ideal in every sense of the word. And just to confirm, I was completely wrong. It was the 993 Carrera RS Cup Sport.
Oh, good. Yeah, going back to our previous conversation.
Yes.
I forgot about that.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I am not...
bingo?
I am not a 911 enthusiast. I don't know all of the 993, 99. Sixes, whatevers. But I can tell you the compression ratio of the 426 Hemi, but that's for another show.
Of course you can.
Anyway. So I've driven around Laguna Seca. If you're used to Laguna Seca on Forza Motorsports or something similar to that, it's going to feel very different. Just because of the way that the differences between the games. Like, I can't remember the name of the corner right now. It's the really fast left-hand turn underneath the bridge coming up towards the top of the corkscrew.
Oh, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
No, before the Ray House straight, yeah.
Yeah, just before. You have to slow so much more on Gran Turismo Sport than you can in Forza Motorsports. Like, in the... in Forza, you can pretty much take that corner flat out on the GT car. In Gran Turismo, not so much.
Interesting.
Yes. But anyway, if you are a Gran Turismo Sport enthusiast, make sure to check out that update. I highly recommend it. Now, what other sim racing news do we have? Jordan, do you have anything?
We had an update to Assetto Corsa, Competizione, and routine listeners to the show will know that we're still waiting on the Intercontinental GT DLC. It's still not here. But we were given an update just before Christmas, which included a number of really cool things. chief among which the custom livery editor, which I know, Matt, you were very excited about seeing for reasons that totally weren't biased toward creating a certain coloured Aston Martin.
No, absolutely not. You did very well, by the way, I might add.
Thank you. Now, yeah, it was okay, but as I was about to get on to, it's not the most fully fleshed out livery editor yet. Mm. It's decent enough for a game that didn't have one. It allows you to put your colours on your car and do your number and all of that. It's nice, but the cars stand out because you can't put sponsors on them. So.
Can? I thought you could put a sponsor on the rear wing, or choose.
I couldn't see that option myself, but admittedly, I might have just overlooked it. But
I feel like I've seen videos where people were doing that.
I know you can select like contingency vinyls, like Pirelli and stuff like that, which are like ones that are to do with the actual Blancpain GT series. But you can't have like a main sponsor on the door and stuff like that. Okay. So hopefully it's something that they bring in at some point. But it's nice to have the option there anyway.
Yeah. So you can choose the type of sponsor somewhat on your car.
Yeah, just the very small ones. Like,
okay, there you go.
Yeah.
ASCC, more comprehensive livery editor than Grid.
Yes, very true.
Yes, I am still salty about that.
Yeah. Other things that came in this update included high dynamic range, vehicle chassis flex simulation. You'll have to ask someone who's a lot more in the know with these things as to whether how good that feels, etc. Brake wear introduced to affect handling in long distance races, tire model improvements, all sorts of stuff. We have yet to receive an official date as to when the Intercontinental GT pack will come out, but we did receive a little teaser video, which was an onboard lap of Kai Alami with David Perrell, the GT driver and sim racer. So the track's still looking really good. I'm still really excited for it, and hopefully the DLC is out sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. As long as they have the appropriate amount of time to develop everything, I think it will be good.
Oh, yeah, it will be. Because what was it we were getting? Kyle Army, Bathurst, which is, I'm so looking forward to Bathurst.
Yeah.
Laguna Seca, and Suzuka?
Yeah. I believe so, yes.
It's been so long since it was announced that I've forgotten some of the tracks that are in it. The Assetto Corsa Competizione is very much in need of some new content, and I think that might just breathe a little bit more life back into it, because it's, as we've discussed before, it's not been as anywhere near as popular as Assetto Corsa 1, purely because you haven't got the ability to mod. It's kind of ended that game life that Assetto Corsa still has. So it was never going to really match up to that, but it's still been a little bit disappointing. Mm-hmm. And I think Kunios probably know that as well.
Yeah, and you are correct. Suzuka, Mount Panamera, Laguna Seca, and Kuami.
Cool. Those are awesome tracks. I can't wait to see how they feel in that sim, because it feels incredible. The recent updates they've made to that game over the last couple of months from launch, the game is fantastic to drive.
Yeah, unfortunately, as I have no gaming PC at this time, I'll have to take your word for it. Anyway, so yeah, ASCC, definitely worth checking out, as we've said many times with this show.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So now that we slagged them off, is there anything from R-Factor 2 that we need to talk about?
Oh yeah, we did, didn't we? Studio 397. But no, they have got some cool stuff coming out. They released their kind of year in review, look to the future kind of thing. Kind of what we're doing here, really. They have announced that they are bringing in the Audi R8 LMS GT3 to the service very soon, as well as the Tartus TRS FT60, which is the single-seater that's used in the Toyota Racing Series. So that looks like a lot of fun. And also, they have released a laser-scanned version of Monaco, which is awesome. It's not called Monaco.
No,
it's called Côte d'Azur, or however you pronounce it, that doesn't offend French people. It looks genuinely very, very impressive. I do wish that we could get Monaco in some other titles. iRacing.
I watched Jimmy Broadbent do a VR video in Mika Häkkinen's McLaren around that Côte d'Azur circuit last week, and it was really, really
it just good. Looks so impressive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It looks so good.
Yeah, I did enjoy that a lot. It's good. It is good. It's good to still see that there's RF2 content coming.
Mm, and it's far from over as well. They're releasing a load of other stuff in the future. They've already released another graphical, another round of graphical improvements. New UI systems just come to the game, so it's far from its end game. I think we're still going to be seeing a lot of support for R-Factor well into the next month, few months, maybe even years.
Ooh, they're also adding the new Audi R8 LMS GT3 Evo.
I said that at the beginning.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. It's a good thing, so it's worth mentioning twice.
Yes.
That is a beautiful car.
People pay attention to you, isn't it, Jordan?
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
In my defense, I was already looking over at Codemasters and seeing if there's an update to Dirt Rally 2.0 that's been released.
Oh, do you think there has been? Has there not?
Yes, there has.
Oh, do tell us about it.
Yes, they have released. Brilliant transition here on the Toro Radio Show.
How to convert a mistake into a segue.
Yes. Anyway, so the first batch of cars from the 2019 FIA World Rally Cross Championship have made their way to Dirt Rally 2.0. They, of course, include the Peugeot 208 WRX, all Red Bull liveried out and everything, the Audi S1 EKS RX Quattro, very nice as well. The Ford Fiesta RXS Evo 5.
I've yet to try any of these, actually. I need to jump on it and give it a
flash. I honestly, full disclosure, I do not remember the last time I played Dirt Rally 2.0. It's been a few months.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been the same. I've kind of meant to pick up WRC based on people's recommendations. But there's a lot to go back to, so it's definitely worth jumping back on Dirt Rally.
Mm. Yeah. Those cars, of course, were a part of Dirt Rally 2.0 Season 4, which included some more liveries that Season 4 players get. As per usual with that, they for the various cars, so the Ford Fiesta, Superlight, the M2 Competition, that's an M2. It's not. It is not Italian. It's German. Anyway, I'm on rare form this evening, gentlemen. Yeah. So yeah, I believe the next update for Dirt Rally is coming up in a couple weeks on the 14th
of January. Yes.
So be sure to cover the. Actually, there's another one on the 28th of January as well. So we'll be sure to cover that on next month's
show. I'm still hoping that they will, because they've been bringing in a lot of the World Rallycross Championship content. I'm still hoping they bring in the circuit at Spa, because that looked wicked when they raced there last year.
Yeah,
going up Eau Rouge into that hairpin. That's so cool. Mm-hmm.
All right. Matt, do you have any more sim racings? I believe there is sim racing of the two-wheel variety that you want to talk about.
Yes, we're going to have a look at some two-wheeled stuff for a change. We don't tend to cover this an awful lot. First up is Ride 4. Some people may remember the not unsuccessful Ride series, which is basically the Gran Turismo for bikes. Has been going for, I think, since about 2015 now. They're on the fourth iteration now, coming next year. Teaser trailer's
come
out.
You mean this year?
Oh, for goodness sake, yeah. What year is it? 2021 now?
It's 2020.
It's 2012 in my head.
Yeah, anyway. it always takes me a few weeks to get used to what year it is. January. Hate it. Anyway, so Ride 4 coming later this year. Now with an interesting partnership with Yamaha. Not a lot, a huge amount of detail actually coming out of what this entails. But given the fact that Ride 3 was very heavy towards Ducati and there was so therefore a lot of Ducati content, one can suspect with reasonable accuracy that the same can be said for this iteration, but with Yamaha, which is fine, because Yamaha has an awful lot of very interesting bikes. Hopefully that might mean some more MotoGP content as well, would be quite cool.
That would be great.
We can we can only hope. I mean, I don't know if either of you ever actually tried Ride 3. Ride 3 was a very, very good...
Oh, it was great fun.
Yeah, great fun. Loads of different types of circuits. Could probably have done some more, but after a fashion. But actually, you know, it was not awful at all. I really, really enjoyed Ride 3. Being able to hurl some mid-90s 1000cc superbikes around Cadwell Park will never be tiring. In the slightest, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I expect, given the leap forward that has been occurring with the WRC series and the developers being largely the same, it should kind of mean that there's hopefully a bit of shared technology going on, which would be nice.
Yeah.
He said, hopefully.
Yeah. Now, I've actually not had the pleasure of playing a ride game yet.
You definitely should.
Yeah.
I definitely should. I might have to pick this one up whenever it gets launched.
It's probably... I'm not somebody who's usually into... I've said this so many times on the show. I'm not usually someone who's into much of the two-wheel stuff. Nothing against it at all. I'm more four-wheel. But Ride... The Ride series has probably been the one that's gotten me the most interested. Just purely because it's not one thing. Like the MotoGP games, I'm sure they're great, but it's just MotoGP.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the variety of being able to do everything from superbikes to those, almost like motocross ones that compete on the really short tracks.
Something interesting.
Those are actually impossibly difficult. I really struggle with them. You'd think, because I mean, I used to play all the MXGP games when I was like, much, much younger. And it all seemed very straightforward and easy. It's not easy at all. It's really difficult. It's certainly difficult to get a decent result in them. Yes.
But yes, something anyway. I just saw that's interesting is that the article that I found talking about Ride 4 said that Ride 4 aims to be the, in quotations, definitive sandbox for all bike lovers. So does that mean that we're going to get like a Horizon type of like open world type of thing? Because that style game's usually referred to as being a sandbox game.
Yeah, but they say that about Forza Motorsport, but the sandbox is different insofar as you have your circuits. But the thing is, and the reason why I described it as the Gran Turismo for bikes, which is ironic because
didn't we used to refer to Ride as the Forza for bikes?
We should probably.
I think we refer to it as both.
Yeah, you could probably do that because actually, Polyphony actually did do a Gran Turismo for bikes. I think it was called Tourist Trophy, and it was okay, but really not as good as it could have been. And there's never been a game like it where you could buy bikes, upgrade them, do all the sort of Forza-y things to them. Build them up into a class, very much a similar PI sort of system setup that they have. Do liveries for them. And then take them to a not inconsiderable amount of circuits and have a jolly good race.
Good race.
Exactly. and Ride's been gradually building up to being a really, really good little franchise. And I have to say, so in three, you've got a good range of circuits, a lot of British circuits actually. So you've got Brands, you've got Alton Park, Cadwell, Donington. Don't think Snetterton's on there.
No, sadly.
So you can't quite do BSB, although there are some BSB bikes in there, which is in itself quite cool. But then you've got like semi-fictional circuits like Tenerife. Now, having been to Tenerife many, many times, whilst obviously the actual routes that they use are not real, the environments in which you pass through are very akin to reality, which is absolutely brilliant. They've done on their research on some of the, on these locations, and it really does pay off. And it's just a really good series, and it's really good that there's going to be a fourth iteration later this year, which is exactly what my bank balance needs. Because the other thing that Ride does very well is it does an awful lot of DLC, and you get lots of, and you know, you get the extra bikes, you get a lot of extra events that you can enter specific to those DLC packs. Each pack is themed. You get free packs as well, which offer free bikes. So you know, if you don't want to shell out on all the DLC packs, you don't have to. And it's really, really, really good. I suspect also if you hunt around on Xbox at the moment while the sales are just about still on, you'll probably find that they're quite cheap as well.
Oh, it was certainly cheap on Steam. I saw it the other day.
Yeah.
So it's definitely still some deals around if you need to.
Absolutely.
Pick it up.
Highly recommended.
Definitely.
While I'm thinking of this, I'm going to go see what the Xbox price is, since we were talking about that. Unless we talked about that and I zoned out because we were talking about bikes again, which is a possibility. But do you have anything else before we continue on to our main, like, kind of central discussion, Matt?
Well, there is the... I think we might have briefly touched on this last time, but you are apparently bringing out the next iteration of the TT Isle of Man series.
Oh, good grief!
Big Ben,
that joke never
gets old.
No, Big Ben.
It really freed me for a minute there.
Big Ben Interactive has announced, apparently, though he wasn't very interactive when we've asked him. The Isle of Man TT. I'm just going to call it Isle of Man TT 2 because the longer title just annoying. Will be coming also sometime later this year. So if you want to be infuriated by not being able to complete a single lap of the Isle of Man without breaking every bone in your tiny little body, this is the game for you. And that's all you can say on the matter. It's so difficult. It's a lot of fun, but it is ball-achingly difficult.
Oh, yeah. As a good game like that should be. Because it's the Isle of Man TT. It's not exactly Driving Miss Daisy.
There's the new
selling point for the TT when it comes around again. Welcome to the Isle of Man TT. It's not exactly Driving Miss Daisy.
If it has all the North, like the Northwest 200 and all that sort of stuff on it, it'd be very good. I'm pretty sure. See, I'm getting my bike games confused. Either that or Ride 3 had those circuits on it as well. So if it has a lot more of the road racing fare in it, I think it'll be better. Because if it's just one circuit, it would be like someone bringing out a Nürburgring game and the only track you can drive is the Nürburgring in various different cars and that's it. Fun for about 5 minutes, but
then you remember, oh wait, it's the Nürburgring.
Yeah.
It actively tries to kill me.
Except for when you're on a bike doing nearly 200 miles an hour. And there's still lots of street furniture around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the Isle of Man TT. You will not find Morgan Freeman and Jessica Tandy anywhere near it.
Where did this conversation go to?
Those are the two main characters in Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, sorry. I can't say that I've seen it.
I was like, what's God got to do with this?
Anyway, welcome to our video show.
That's it for two wheel motorsport news, Neil.
All right.
I maintain disappointment at the MotoGP franchise for only being allowed to play with the Moto E bikes on a tight selection of this point. But we won't go there again.
No.
Right. So, let us transition into kind of the main discussion they're going to be talking about during this show, where we see sim racing heading forward into wealth this year, 2020. I think we can all agree that 2019 was quite the game changer for sim racing.
Definitely. In terms of its reach and how much it's kind of exploded.
Yeah. There seem to be more car manufacturers getting involved with it, sponsoring things. There seems to be more media attention to kind of bring it into a little bit to more mainstream type of things. Video game companies, developers themselves seem to be getting more involved with it, turning out more of content that's focused around sim racing, things like that, more community involvement, just using Forza as an example because, you know, we like to talk about Forza in this game. There's was a much more of a step up in the production of the Forza RC this year, whether that's based on they actually wanted to make it profitable. That's a discussion for another time. Their final was sponsored by Lamborghini. They had that entire stream, 24-hour stream, where they took part in our Daytona 24 hours. So that's Daytona 24-hour, Nürburgring 24-hour. You can tell I'm already five topics into the future in my head. That explains a lot. Where they were getting more involved with community involvement, switching gears into iRacing now. Their Peak Antifreeze Series winner, whose name is escaping me at the moment, Conti?
No, this year was Zach Novak.
Thank you, yeah. All the attention he got, whether that was for positive or negative, I know we talked about that on the show where people were like, so what? He did that in his living room. That doesn't make a real racing driver get him a real car, blah, 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 blah. All that fun discussion, in which we promptly said, all right.
Okay, Boomer.
Oh, no.
I'm just down with the kids, sorry. It's an appropriate reaction. Anyway.
Please don't yell at us. Anyway, Gran Turismo Sport has just exploded with their popularity. I mean, they got Lewis Hamilton to come do a part of their Pro-Am race on their last. You still haven't seen that?
No, it's not out yet, is it?
Pretty sure it's out.
Oh, I mean, I'll have to go and look for that.
Yeah, you should.
He's basically like racing's biggest star. Like, he's a celebrity, let's call him that. So to get him involved is another massive coup for sim racing as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Matt, you're being suspiciously quiet.
I'm just letting you guys talk about the year, because with it being a bit of a transition year, I've been not as obviously involved on the ground floor as in previous. So it's just been nice to sort of sit back and see how everything's moving forward. I'd like to think a lot of it comes off the back of everything that we've sort of done over the last 13-odd years, but, you know. That might be a little big-headed, I don't know.
I mean, Torrids have been around a significant amount of time. And you guys, before I came on board, were pretty involved in a different matter of things. There was the whole thing with you guys going to Silverstone with Rogue Motorsports and the Forza Motorsport 4 sponsored MR2, if I remember correctly.
Yes. That was a very special and incredibly tiring weekend. But I think it's
was that go on. Was that 2012? When was that? Was that 2012? Yeah.
Yes, because that was the year we also went to EGX, and and did a stand with GT Omega as well.
Mm-hmm.
The very following weekend, actually. Not tiring at all.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah, it's
anyway. Know,
things have moved on quite a lot, and it is very cool to see. Obviously, you've got F1 esports being such a big thing. You've got the Le Mans esports series coming on stronger. Although there's obviously still big calls for there to be a PC version, because you know Master Race don't like it.
No.
you know it. Yeah, there's still a lot of work to do, I think. But I think it's come on a heck of a long way in a pretty short period of time. The bigger it gets, the more big series, you know, are going to sort of realise that it's how you engage the new generation of audiences. And that's never a bad thing. I think you know, we've seen that through dealing with British GT, GT Cut, mm-hmm. Ginetta, and everyone else that we've dealt with over the years. You know, and it's great to see, obviously, Formula One jumping into it in such a big way. In fact, I know, obviously, we've been quite tongue-in-cheek about F1 in the past, and how they've done, certainly how some of the teams have reacted to it, because obviously Ferrari only really came into it this year, 2019. But I think it's hard to argue that their coverage and the way they've dealt with esports in 2019, I'm going to assume same again this year, has been magnificent. I sort of hope, you know, WRC's got a bit of a niche esports thing going on. MotoGP is the same. You know, it'll be really cool to sort of see those series build and expand over the next 12 months. I think the thing is a lot of these things they're limited by the features that the developers put into the titles. And I think it's one of the reasons why but the Le Mans esports thing's been so good using Forza. I think it's one of the things some of these people who comment don't necessarily understand, is because these esports teams want to represent themselves and mm-hmm. build their own brands on an international platform. Rightly so, you know, they don't want to necessarily have to drive in the colours of whatever liveries happen to be in the game, because it suits the game. You know, all part and parcel of having these cool teams is being able to represent them in the correct manner. And livery editors are obviously a big part of that. And as titles develop and build in these livery editors, as we alluded to earlier on, then they automatically become a lot more esports friendly. You know, and hopefully that is the pathway that a lot of these titles will now take.
You know, much like we talked about last month, where we had that entire discussion about how if you're going to launch a sim racing title in 2020, you better have a pretty in-depth livery editor or something similar, or else your game's going to get left in the dust. Just because of the standards that have been set by iRacing with their whole trading paints thing with Forza, which is widely regarded as the best console livery editor, and with Gran Turismo Sport, which has that ability to port your own logos into the game so that you can put them directly on your cars, where you don't have to replicate them over 2 weeks with 700 vinyl shapes. And things like that. So I guess my next question about this discussion is, do we see the trend, if you're looking at the graph that is the growth of the popularity of sim racing, do we see it continue to move up, or is it going to start to plateau a little bit in the next coming year?
I'd say it's almost certainly going up. And it's going to stay going up for a long time, I would say, because if you compare it, as we were saying a couple of years ago, the only really big sim racing tournaments that we saw were like GT Academy kind of thing. World's Fastest Gamer was only just starting to become a thing, and then there was us, of course. More, as you said, more and more titles are starting to do it. The events are being streamed much more available to other places. You got iRacing events and that, like, being shown on NBC Sports in America now. Twitch and YouTube are just exploding in popularity by themselves, which in turn is making the sim racing coverage a lot greater. I don't see it slowing down at all. It's I feel like sim racing is well and truly becoming the new entryway into motorsports. It's kind of a separate point, but karting has gotten so expensive nowadays that you're seeing more and more people finding their way into motorsport through sim racing because they see it on TV. How is the easiest way I can do that? Oh, well, I'll get it on my computer. Not, oh, I'll spend several grand on a go-kart.
Yeah, much like...
tour the country kind of thing.
I don't know if anyone remembers this discussion, but we talked about the cost of sim... kind of more sort of the cost of sim racing in our... Our Christmas show in 2018, where we talked about how, well, you can spend this much to get this racing experience, or you can spend this much and have years worth of fun on iRacing and things like that.
Yeah, it's get what you paid for kind of thing, which is similar to, I mean, it's like if you take everything to the nth degree, you're going to be spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you wanted to do real racing, it's still going to be quite expensive, but there's ways to do it cheaply. But sim racing, the barrier to entry is much lower. I mean, you can go like the very high level, you know, getting like triple screen set up, VR, all that for iRacing. You spend a lot of money. You could go the middle range of getting like a fairly decent Logitech or Thrustmaster wheel or something like that and playing Assetto Corsa kind of thing. That's the mid range. But you've got the really low end, like not low end, not saying it like it's bad. It's not bad. Like playing on a pad, on a console.
Yeah.
Any of that, it's all a barrier to entry, and because you've got all these different rungs, anyone can get into sim racing, and I think that's what's going to make it, the numbers, referring back to what the actual question was, that's what's going to see the numbers continue to go up, is that there's no barrier to entry for sim racing. It's just you will see it being streamed, you will see it on TV, the real racing, and you'll go, I want to try that. And that market's not going to go down.
Yeah. Matt, since you were in the unique position of being in the sim racing sphere significantly longer than Jordan than I have.
Good Lord.
I mean, I've only...
Sometimes your age is a good thing.
Yes. I've only surely been around this type of sim racing since, I want to say, 2014 into 2015. Jordan, I think you probably might have actually been more involved in
2013.
Yeah,
I think was when I really started getting serious about it.
Yeah, but you founded Tora in 2007. So you've been around the longest of the three of us. Would you say that there's a trend that the popularity follows, or is it just kind of peaks and valleys? Given your experience.
It's a difficult one, really, because I'm usually so focused on what we do. It's kind of...
You kind of have blinders to everything else.
Yeah.
I understand that completely, as I am experiencing this currently.
Yes. No, it's a difficult question to answer. I think it depends what you mean. Do you mean in terms of categories that are raced, or just as an overall esports thing?
Let's just go with overall, considering we probably only have about 15 minutes left in today's show.
Yeah. It's upwards. The whole trend's upwards.
Yeah.
That's a given. you know, will it be as big as Dota and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, no.
No.
I can't imagine it would have anything.
But I don't think it should.
Yeah.
I don't think it should. I don't think that's what, you know, it you can't make motorsport something it's not. And if you want to, if the concept of, you know, there is no, realistically, right, there's no real world equivalent of Dota. You can't play COD. You can't do multiplayer COD and then go out. Well, you could, but you shouldn't. Go out and do it for real. But you can go out and do motorsport. You can go out and do FIFA. Well, not FIFA, but you know, you can go and play football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things. Sport has a realist. You know, has a real equivalent.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can't do esports versions of this, and in complete ignorance of what it's based upon. And yeah. I think that was the initial fall down of some developers, was trying to make the motorsport esports concept something it can't be. And as soon as they started to realise this and turned it back more towards what the casual viewer in terms of esports, but a viewer in terms of motorsports, would recognise as something that they have seen, that's more enticing and more interesting, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so from a tourist standpoint, we've always tried to do it as faithful to real world equivalents as we can, because we know that works. And the longevity of the organization kind of speaks to that. The partnerships that we've had over the 13 years speaks for that. The fact that we're on this very channel speaks for that. You know,
this is true.
Yeah, and I kind of think that that's a very key point, and it's a message that I really hope that any developer who's looking at a motorsport esports angle for their license keeps very, you know, at the forefront of their mind as they move forward. Don't turn it in. Don't try and reinvent the literal wheel. Motorsport is motorsport. Don't try and be clever with it. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And I think it will, as F1 Esports has done, I'm going to keep coming back to that example, it's carving out a niche for itself, and it's a very popular niche. It's getting excellent viewership. You know, the quality of the races in it speaks for themselves. You know, you've got obviously NASCAR doing something very similar on iRacing at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're doing it the right way. That they are literally making it an esports version of what they already do. And
yeah.
And that is exactly what it needs to be, because that's what the guys who are competing in that, and this is probably the other misnomer, I think, is the guys competing in that aren't competing in that just because it's a video game. They're competing in that because in their mind, it's the closest many of them are ever going to get to driving a Formula One car. That's why any of us do this.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the whole reason I got involved with it.
You know, that's the reason I got involved with
yeah.
it.
So, yeah, it's referring back to how the cost of real motorsport, it's a way for those of us who would love to be in a car every weekend are able to do it and feel even just a fraction of that competitiveness.
Yeah, exactly. And you, I know you get the people who go, but it's not a sport. But the concept of a sport, irrespective of type or platform or anything like that, is a competition between people, no matter what format. And it is a competition. People are genuinely competing. They're just competing in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't take that away from the guys and girls who compete in all levels of this. And it's only going to get bigger. And as you rightly said earlier on, it is a perfectly legitimate feeder into real-world racing. But not just racing, we must remember, of course, every aspect. And that's one thing that we pride ourselves on, of course, is the fact that it's not just the people behind the wheel who are important when it comes to esports. It's those who do the livery design, those who do all the setup and engineering for the esports teams in the background, those who manage those drivers. you know, those who do all that sort of stuff and all the promotion and everything else that goes into it, there is an esports equivalent for. And that is brilliant, and that is really cool. And we've got, I mean, we know people, don't we, guys, who have gone to do engineering, motorsport engineering degrees off the back of a not insignificant esports career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's loads
and that's what we want to see. We want to see young people going out and doing marshalling because they love motorsport, because of what they've done, here with us. You know, we want to see people going and doing commentary and stuff because of what they've done here with us. You know, that's what esports motorsport can be, and I really hope that it is.
Mic drop.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes. Well said.
Well, you asked my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't expect to get a manifesto, though. So.
This is why we have you here.
Yeah. So in the last 5 minutes of tonight's program, we do need to talk about some tour news.
Because there is some, Christ.
There is some tour news, yes. For those who are interested in taking part in our Daytona 24-hour, registration is now open. Remember that teams have to be between three to five different racers, and that there are some non-double stinting rules in place. So be sure to keep that stuff in mind. I couldn't think of the word I wanted to use to finish that sentence, so I'll state it a different way. I've seen a couple of people ask about, well, can I do this by myself? Unfortunately, no, just because of the nature of how we have to set this up so that it runs relatively on time. Unfortunately, that isn't a possibility, just because we need people to be in two places at once, and that's not possible. As much as we'd like to have just an open lobby for 24 hours and just have people come in and out as they please, we can't, unless we go to iRacing, and I don't think that's in the cards at the moment for us here at Tora. No. Maybe future, maybe, but just not right now.
If you are interested in doing anything iRacing related on Tora, please let us know on the forum. We're always looking out for that.
Yes. American Iron, the car lists and build rules are available. I believe registration is supposed to open this week. I can't remember what date Mike had set for it. It might be open now. I could go look, but unfortunately, I need to keep this going. So be sure to check out the forums if you're interested in taking part of that. Remember, that series takes part in three different time zones. There's the Australia Oceania time zone, there's the European time zone, and there's the American time zone. So be able to check that out if you want to take part in that. TASCAR Season 9 is returning.
Woo!
Much rejoicing. This series will start on February 1st. This is the first place I'm going to be talking about this. I will have all the information on the forums by the weekend, in theory, unless something else happens. We will be going back to the previous open tunes for road courses and stock tuning for ovals method that we've used in the past. So be able just to allow a little bit more customizability in drivers setting up the cars the way they want to and things like that. So if you're interested in taking part in TASCAR, be able to check that stuff out. The registration won't open until next week, unfortunately. In the last couple minutes, let's talk about some series that you should expect to see from Tor in 2020. First one I want to talk about is the TCC/NATCC championships. Those should be coming back this year. We took kind of a break from it just because we took a spec back from it, saw that there are like five other sites also running touring car championships. So we decided to focus on something else. This probably won't be until spring, summer, probably on Tuesdays as per usual. So we will be talking more about that on the Tora Radio Show, so be sure to check that out. Something we're still debating with internally is whether we want to use the actual touring cars in games that in Forza, I should say, that we've been racing pretty much to death since Forza 6, or if we want to go something a little bit more production based, as is kind of our forte. So be sure to check out that information when it becomes available. Spec Cup will be seeing some type of resurgency coming up in 2020. We're probably, unfortunately, going to move away from having that on Wednesdays, just because we feel that we don't want to have people racing basically three times a week and not have time to practice for anything. So we're going to cut down on that a little bit. So Spec Cups will probably also be occurring on Tuesdays. I know that Mikey is planning a wide variety of Thursday series. Expect to see NAFCAR returning in some form in 2020. Expect to see Trans Am returning in some form in 2020. NAFCAR, we're doing something a little bit different this time, and that's all I'm going to tease and not mention again until it's time. Of course, you can expect our official esports series to come back. So GT Cup is planning on coming back. British GT is planning on coming back. We will be changing the formats for those slightly, just to make it a little bit more user-friendly going forward. So be able to check on that. IndyCar will be returning, as will the Tour Indy 500. That will be in May. Oh, we will talk about during the May show. And towards the end of the year, we should see a V8 Supercar series returning to Tora. So be sure to check out on that. Something that we're also working in the background is a possible return for Rejection GT. So I'm just going to tease that, flood that idea out there. We'll see if we can fit into the calendar this year. That's about all I want to talk about right now. We have so many pieces moving behind the scenes that people don't know about, that are things that I'm really excited for if they actually happen. So if you're interested in hearing about pretty much what's going to be the place for the first place you'll hear about some of these potential big series that we'll be doing in 2020, this would be the place to do it. Here on the Tori Radio Show on RS1, the first Thursdays of every month now.
Well,
so yes, that was pretty discussion heavy show, but also a pretty full show. Do my co-hosts have any final thoughts as we close out the show?
Just happy new year to everybody, and here's to a very exciting and prosperous 2020.
Indeed, amen.
Yes,
mic drop. Say that for the people at the back.
On that note, it is time to end. Thank you all for listening. Be sure to tune in next month. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.